previously on Heroes.
What happened?
You tried to kill yourself.
Jumped. You flew up and you caught me.
You jumped 25 feet to a fire escape. I climbed up and carried you down. That's what happened. The rest is just crazy talk. Understand?
I spoke to a very nice woman at the adoption agency. She said they were going to try to get in touch with your birth parents.
To get protect me forever.
I know. And it breaks my heart.
I love you, Dad.
Claire's dad watches her video.
This is Claire Bennett. That was attempt number 6.
It really does break my heart.
Please don't hurt me.
You are not supposed to be in here.
Matt finds a scared young girl in hiding.
I didn't kill these people. Sila did.
You're under arrest.
What?
Hello. Nice to meet you. I love New York.
Finding a comic book story that exactly reflects events in his own life, Hero seeks out its writer at an apartment.
Mr. Isaac Mendes? Hello?
Mr. Isaac?
Freeze! We got a live one here. No English, no passport, no American money, no ID. How long ago did he do this?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
October 2.
October 2? No, pal. Today, November 8.
Hero and two police detectives watch through a window as the city is destroyed. Nikki finds the key to a convertible car that's parked near her house. The car is registered in her name, and in the trunk, she finds a map and the bloody remains of two thugs. Following a route on the map, Nikki drives to where a shovel has been left in the desert sand. Chapter 3. One Giant Leap. Outskirts of Las Vegas, Nevada.
When Evolution selects its agents, it does so at a cost. It makes demands in exchange for singularity, and you may be asked to do something against your very nature.
Nikki's digging in the darkened desert has unearthed a human skull. She claws away the sand around it to reveal a skeletal hand wearing a silver ring. She removes the ring and stares at its skull design.
Suddenly, the change in your life that should have been wonderful comes as a betrayal.
Nikki hurries back towards the car.
It may seem cruel, but the goal is nothing short of self-preservation. Survival.
She opens the trunk to reveal the crammed-in remains of the thugs. Claire to her dad.
So if our team wins, there'll be a celebratory bonfire where I need to represent. So it might be like midnight-ish.
On a school night.
A celebratory school night.
She smiles at Brody.
So is that the quarterback?
Who?
The boy that you like right over there?
I don't like him. I mean, he's a very nice boy, but... Yes, he's the quarterback.
If you really wanted to make me happy, you'd only date nerds. But it worked out very well for your mother.
I love your glasses, Mr. Bennett.
Thank you, Jackie. Rumor has it you're a local hero. Pulled a man out of a burning train car.
You heard about that? OMG, does everybody know?
It was on the news. You told half the school to set their TiVos.
It's going to be the cornerstone of my campaign for class president. I'm running on a platform of moral, mental, and social advancement through good deeds. What do you think?
I think I need to get something out of my locker.
Hey.
Mr. Bennett kisses Claire, and she heads off.
Claire. Be careful, okay?
Hero and Ando. Tokyo, Japan. Ando's watching Nikki's webcast strip. Hero and Ando have a conversation. Ando, where have you been the last 2 days? I teleported myself into the future. Haven't we been over all this? Then explain this. It tells the whole story of my heroic journey. Is this how you spend your time? Read it. I'm on the subway in Japan. Suddenly, I'm in New York. 5 weeks in the future. Been hitting the sake? I found the book's author, but he was dead. Then there's a nuclear explosion. Kaboom! It all happens in 5 weeks, and you and I have to stop it. Definitely the sake. Look, you're in it too. A comic book panel reflects the exact words of their conversation. How could I know you were going to say that? We have work to do, if you still work here. Listen, if I can prove it to you beyond a shadow of a doubt, will you come with me? We have to go right now. A girl's life depends on us. Heroes. Created by Tim Kring. Peter's standing outside somewhere looking down. He spreads his arms wide before staring skywards, his head thrown back. He breathes deeply, preparing himself. After a moment, he tips slowly forwards and falls flat on his face. He's landed in a children's sandbox just below the small climbing frame he's dropped from. He dusts himself off before climbing back onto it. A young boy wearing a red cape and sucking juice from a carton watches as Peter repeats the painful exercise. Noticing the child, Peter picks himself up again. Nathan.
It'll work. We'll have the fundraiser here, not the ballroom. Makes me look fiscally responsible.
Yes, it does.
Pete, just the man I want to see.
I need to talk to you.
What do you think? Red or blue?
I don't know. Blue?
I'm gonna go red. The president wears red. So you're gonna come tonight? Gonna break out the suit, have a couple of drinks,
yeah.
Rebuff the advance with my cute interns? Emily?
Yeah, I'm gonna be there. But listen, I tried it again.
Tried what?
What do you mean, what? What do you think that I mean? I tried to fly.
Could you keep your voice down?
You were there. Last night, I could fly. This morning, nothing. I nearly broke my neck trying.
Well, that would have solved one of our problems.
Yeah, so I went to the library to see if I could find anything on human flight. Came across this amazing book. Listen to this. Genes determine obesity, blood pressure. Out of the 30 billion possibilities, one might contain the potential for human flight. This guy knows what's going on. Chandra Suresh, he's a genetics professor in India. I called. They said that he quit 6 months ago. They think he's here, in New York. Okay, we gotta find this guy.
We got a more immediate problem, Peter.
What?
It's this woman, reporter. She's poking around into why you jumped off the roof.
Nathan, we flew. Aren't you curious how this happened?
Yeah, I mean, I want answers just like everyone else, man. Just like you, okay? But right now, today, I'm trying to find a way to put a spin on this so it doesn't look like crazy runs in our family.
I need to figure out why this is happening to me.
Got responsibilities, Pete, okay? I've got an election to win and a family to feed, okay?
All right, so what do you want to tell that reporter?
I know one thing we can't tell her. Truth.
A copy of Suresh's book sits near Mohinder as he taps on a laptop in his father's apartment. A sound outside makes him grab a handgun from the table. Eden comes in.
Sorry, I still have your dad's keys. Maybe I shouldn't.
Sorry. After being attacked, every noise I hear, I'm sorry.
Well, this is macaroni and cheese. It's what Americans eat when they want to commit suicide slowly. Your dad said mine was the best he ever had, but he was from India.
Thank you. You're very kind.
You look like hell. When was the last time you slept?
All this work. I'm no closer to understanding my father's research.
Well, what about the program on your dad's computer? Didn't you say he cracked some code?
I thought he had. But the algorithm, it's gibberish.
Know anybody who speaks gibberish?
She smiles at him.
The man with the horned-rimmed glasses. He chased me around the world. Madras, Manhattan, this very apartment looking for it. But this isn't anything.
Well, then why would he build it?
Why? It was always this way with my father. Every question met with another question. Never an answer. Only why. Even after he's dead.
Well, what about the map?
The map is nothing until I can decipher the principle behind it.
You know, if I could find even one such person, it would validate everything he believed. But I can't.
Your father had a lot of faith in you.
My father only cared about proving he was right. He left his country, his family, chasing this insanity. And now I'm wasting my life trying to prove him sane. Where did it get me?
Mahinder!
I'm sorry. I'm just so tired.
Going to retrieve the laptop from where Mohinder threw it, Eden finds a small notebook jammed into the back of it. Taking it, Mohinder finds an address with the name Sila.
Sila.
He also finds a key.
What is it?
Yet another question.
Matt Parkman, FBI Headquarters, Los Angeles.
I don't know how else to explain this. I heard a little girl call for help.
I went to her. That's all that happened.
So you just waltzed right in, found a kid hiding in a wall, then pulled the name Siler out of your ass when only a handful of us know that name.
It was like someone was talking to me, except it was in my head.
The voices tell you anything else? They want you to do things, rob a store, kill the president?
No. It's more like I can hear people's thoughts, or something, I don't know.
Can you tell me what I'm thinking?
No, I really can't control this. It just sort of happens.
Give it a shot, Karnak. I'm wide open.
You think I'm nuts? Or stupid?
Great trick. Stop wasting my time. Need this more than you do. Need this. Nobody believes in me.
Nobody believes in you. I know what that's like.
Audrey suddenly looks unnerved.
How much longer do I have to be in here?
Depends. How do you like to work with the FBI?
Surprised, Matt looks up and nods. Zach.
Sir, what are you doing running off to an away game? That tape with all your attempts at bodily harm is still missing.
Yeah, well, if someone finds it, we'll just tell him you're some visual effects geek who did it with his computer. Now, can I get back to my life?
So that's it? You're just gonna go pump your pom-poms and pretend you're no different than any other girl on the squad?
Yes, actually.
But you are, Claire. You are different. Don't you see that? Don't you see that none of this matters? School spirit doesn't matter. Being a pretty blonde cheerleader doesn't matter. It's not who you are anymore.
Who am I? So what? I can crawl through a wood chipper and live to tell about it. That narrows my choices in life to freak or guinea pig. In most cases, both. What's wrong with wanting to be normal? You should try it.
At Isaac's apartment, Simone is removing a painting of Claire and Zach from an easel when Isaac appears.
What are you doing here?
The door's open. Isaac, you have to get back to work. Your editor? The comic book is late.
You were taking them, weren't you?
Yes, I'm going to sell them in my gallery, and with the money, we can get you straightened out into rehab.
I'm not going into rehab.
I found all your junk, the drugs, all of it. I flushed everything.
How am I supposed to paint the future?
Nobody can paint the future. That's the drugs talking.
Look around you at all these paintings. Every one of them has come true.
Oh. And does that include this big one on the floor of New York going nuclear?
Yes. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I have to stop it.
He holds Simone's face.
I don't want to lose you, Simone. But if you don't believe in me, then you shouldn't be here.
He steps away from her.
Fine. You think you can paint the future? Paint one without me in it.
As she turns and walks away, Isaac answers his phone.
Hello. I can't understand a word you're saying. stop calling me here. You've got the wrong number. Wrong number.
Hiro and Ando are walking together. Ando to Hiro. Who are you calling? The comic book author. To warn him about the future. He keeps hanging up on me. That's because you're crazy. I'd hang up on you too if I could. This is the spot. Hiro taps the comic book. A young girl dressed in a school uniform will step in front of a speeding truck, and we have to save her. See? What school girl? Okay, which one is she? I don't know. She has a red bow in her hair. I'll go this way, you go that way. Hiro rushes past a group of schoolgirls, searching for the right one. He accosts one girl with her back to him, but then bows in apology when he sees it's not the right girl. Scanning the area, Hiro spots a schoolgirl with a red bow in her hair, and approaching her at speed as she crosses the road, a white truck. Ando, stop that truck! Stop! Watch out! Just as the girl's about to be hit, Hiro closes his eyes. When he opens them again, everything and everyone around him has become frozen in time. He runs over and lifts the girl out of harm's way. Time flows again, and the truck crashes by. I did it! Hiro and Ando dance delightedly. You did it! So, you believe me now? You'll come with me? It's broad daylight when Nikki finally finishes burying the bodies. She pats the sand down with a shovel and takes a rest, breathing hard as she leans against the handle. She takes a look around, then carries the shovel to the convertible. She gets in and re-examines the silver skull ring before glancing at her reflection in the rearview mirror. Micah pops up from the back seat.
Hi.
Hi.
How'd you sleep?
Good. Where are we?
On our way to Grandma's house.
They drive off together. Now, Nikki's mother-in-law, Paulette Hawkins, answers a door to Nikki's knocking.
Micah! Oh, my, you've grown.
You always say that.
I do.
Yes, you do.
Why don't you go on inside? You look thin. Look, I know what it's like to raise a boy on your own. To be stretched so far, you wish you could be in two places at once. I get it. But that boy needs more than you've been giving him. He needs a steady hand and a stable environment. I can give him that.
Why, because DL grew up to be such a model citizen?
My son, your husband, is a good man.
The ring.
You recognize this? I found it in the desert.
What's that supposed to be?
This belonged to one of the men that your son murdered. I took it out of a grave. You know that all of DL's crew wore these.
DL wouldn't murder anybody. Ever.
Wrong. He robbed Linderman and got away with $2 million, and then he killed his crew.
My son was framed. And he'd be rotting in some prison if he hadn't escaped. Besides, if DL had $2 million, honey, he'd be on some tropical island someplace sitting out his years with Micah.
I want you out of my son's life.
Hello, people in hell want ice water. It doesn't mean they're going to get it.
You have no idea what I am capable of.
Taking the ring, Nikki fetches Micah and leaves. Matt and Audrey are walking down a hallway together.
You want to tell me why I'm still here? I'm not just going to follow you around.
I need you to talk to her, find out what she knows.
Talk to who?
Molly Walker, the little girl you found. Keeping her here where it's safe till we can figure out what to do with her. She's been through severe trauma. Both parents murdered right in front of her. She hasn't said a word since we brought her here.
Makes you think she's gonna talk to me.
Well, if you're really a mind reader, she won't need to.
Who is this Siler? What's he doing?
He's to trail across a dozen states. All people impaled by household objects. Bones broken, all without any traceable sign of physical contact. But only some of them involve any mutilation of the head or neck, so they don't see the connections.
But you think it's all him?
I think it's gonna get a lot worse if someone doesn't go after him.
Mr. Siler? Hello?
Shh.
What are you actually gonna do if Siler's in there?
If Siler killed my father, I need to know why.
Mohinder tries the key.
I suppose that would have been too easy.
Let's go.
No, all the answers could be behind this door.
It's locked, and I'm kind of trying not to freak out now, so can we please just go? Or we could just break in.
Eden joins Mohinder inside the apartment and closes the door behind her. Mohinder begins photographing the place. He snaps the kitchen, which has a single cup and saucer laid out on a table. They walk on. Mohinder photographing a copy of his father's book, Activating Evolution, on a side table. As Mohinder takes pictures of a neatly kept bedroom, Eden looks at a large book open by the window. Its pages display graphic pictures of the human brain.
A light reading before bed?
As they stand examining another book in a glass display case, Mohinder bumps his elbow into the mirror behind him. The mirror opens into a room beyond. He looks back at Eden, then enters the dimly lit secret room. A world map.
That map, and those strings, it's exactly like your father's.
Not exactly. This map has more of them. Dozens more.
I know that guy. He's running for Congress.
His life may be in danger.
Okay, can we please go now?
Not yet.
Mohinder!
Mohinder pulls open a plastic partition. Beyond it, he finds mad writing all over the wall, including the words, "Forgive me."
Dear God, what was my father involved with?
Audrey and Matt step from a lift.
Keeping her in a safe room down here.
It's him! It's Siler! Freeze!
As Audrey pursues a shadowy figure down a hall, Matt pauses at the sight of a dead body suspended from the ceiling, then goes to the aid of the little girl.
Hey! Hey! Remember me?
It's okay. It's okay. No one's gonna hurt you.
How did he find me? How could he find me?
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're safe now. You're safe. All right. All right.
Her gun drawn, Audrey corners the man at the end of a long maintenance corridor.
Give me your hands! Do it or I'll put you down!
Audrey's suddenly gripped by an unseen force, and the gun in her hand is compelled towards her own head. Matt guns down the man, and Audrey is suddenly released.
You okay?
She nods. The man gets up, and Matt turns to find him gone. Hero and Ando are sitting on a plane with a middle-aged lady in the seat between them. Ando to Hero. I'm confused. You said you called me when you went to the future. Yeah? So? So shouldn't I be at home, waiting for your call? We're changing the future. By taking action, we've changed something. What if we make it worse? And if there's going to be a nuclear explosion, shouldn't we be flying away from the bomb? A hero doesn't run away from his destiny. My only concern is whether I need to hide my true identity. Perhaps a costume. You even mentioned tights and a cape, and I'm going home. You can't go home. The comic book says we fly together, so we fly together. Does it say we have to fly coach? The comic book shows the lady asleep on Ando's shoulder. She then assumes the position in real life. Simone bumps into Peter.
Simone.
Oh, hey. I was just coming up to check on my dad. Where are you going? Aren't you supposed to be in your shift?
I was just filling in my replacement, saying bye to your dad.
What?
Listen.
No.
I'm quitting.
Why?
I called the agency and told them this morning.
But my father...
And Caroline's gonna take really great care.
But she's not you.
This is not where I'm supposed to be. It's not what I'm supposed to do. I can't really explain it.
I'll try.
Look, the truth is, I've been trying to save the world one person at a time, but I'm meant for something bigger, something important. I know it now. That's really all I can tell you.
Simone nods reluctantly. Peter heads off.
I'll miss you.
It's New York. I mean, everyone runs into each other sooner or later.
Maybe it'll be sooner.
Jack is holding court with some other cheerleaders next to a blazing bonfire.
Flames were everywhere. Oh my God, I could hear the poor man coughing somewhere inside the train car, but I mean, there was smoke everywhere. I can see him. I was so scared with eyes.
Brody joins Claire by the fire.
Nice effigy.
Thanks, I stayed up all night stuffing it with newspaper.
I had a fill a tail with firecrackers, but that's just me.
That would have been cool.
Careful. Stand too close, you end up like that guy.
I'm not as flammable as he is.
Dare Ledgerwood's got a keg in the back of his truck.
Are you sure this is okay?
We're 30 miles from home. Who's gonna know? Jackie told me you want to meet your real mom and dad.
I told Jackie that in confidence.
You do realize you were talking to Jackie,
right?
Is that why you're bummed? The whole adoption thing? I mean, you didn't, like, just find out, did you?
Oh, no. They told me when I was really little. Why would you think I'm bummed?
You don't seem like yourself. Thought maybe something was wrong.
You don't know me well enough to know when I'm not being myself.
You never drink plain milk. It's always chocolate. You draw mermaids in the margins of your notebook, put cracks in your sandwiches to make them crunch, and you're usually the first person to laugh at a joke. But I haven't heard you laugh in a while. Lately, you seem sort of sad.
Have you been spying on me?
Claire, my goal tonight is to hear you laugh.
Claire turns to see the effigy on the bonfire exploding with firecrackers.
Did you put firecrackers in his head just for me?
Brody kisses her. She gazes at him for a moment before walking off with him. A pretty blonde girl with a worried look on her face watches them go. Now, Matt's wife, Janice, an attractive dark-haired woman, is staring at a laptop screen when Matt gets home.
Hey, you waited up for me. Look, I know I missed our therapy session.
It's fine.
No, it wasn't. I'm sorry. I was supposed to call you, and I meant to, but I had the craziest day today. You would not believe what happened to me. It was so strange, and it was amazing, and I don't even know how to describe it.
Then don't.
That's it? That's it? You waited up all this time so that you could tell me that you don't want to talk to me?
Look, I really don't want this to turn into a fight, and if I say anything else, it will. I'm really trying, Matt. You know, this marriage may not mean anything to you.
What? It does. Of course it does. What are you talking about? I have a lot of stuff going on right now.
So do I. It was supposed to be a good thing when I made associate, and you were supposed to be happy for me. But ever since, it's like you're mad at me for getting what I wanted because you haven't.
Janice walks away as Matt mulls this over for a long moment. He moves closer to her.
I don't mean to be. It's just... heart.
I can't do this anymore.
I wish you would just leave.
I wish you would just leave.
Fine. I will.
Brody and Claire are kissing on the steps of a deserted game stand. Brody's hand strays down from Claire's face and begins sliding its way up her thigh.
Just a little break.
Want to go back to the party?
No, I'm going through something and I don't know if now's the right time.
You know what? You just need to relax.
What's gotten into you?
I just really like you, Claire. Don't you like me?
Brody, stop!
Claire falls to the ground, and Brody begins to force himself on her.
This is gonna happen! Don't be a bitch! Let it happen!
Claire kicks her way free, but as she tries to escape, Brody grabs her, and she falls upon a log.
Claire! Claire!
Brody sees a branch sticking in her neck. Looking panicked, he stares down at her still features. Nikki.
You haven't said a word the whole way home. Boy, that has got to be a record.
Micah continues to stare ahead.
Are you hungry? You know, I was thinking that we could stop by that ice cream shop on the way home. You know, the one with those ginormous banana splits?
Why don't you believe that Dad's innocent? I mean, you should be trying to help him.
I know that you want to believe in your father. But I know what's best, Micah. They're gonna catch him and he's gonna go away for a long time.
They'll never find him.
How do you know that? Micah, do you know where he is?
Nikki pulls over at the side of the long, straight desert road. The police car stops just behind her, and the uniformed officer steps out. Nikki waits as the policeman walks over and looks down at her.
Is there a problem, officer?
Mr. Linderman wants to see you.
I'm with my son.
The policeman opens the door, and Nikki and Micah climb out. Now, a sign reading Vote Petrelli hangs on the wall in a room crowded with partygoers. Peter's mum, Angela, is there, while Peter himself comes across Simone.
So I guess the sooner rather than later.
To destiny.
May we recognize it when we see it.
To love. May we stay away from it when it's no good for us. You know, earlier today when you were telling me how you'd changed?
Yeah.
I noticed it. There's just something different. It's like a look in your eye. A confidence.
Something I should tell you. Something, I didn't think was right to say. And I still work for your father. Something wouldn't have even said to you 2 days ago. I've been in love with you since the minute I first laid eyes on you.
Excuse me. Everyone, excuse me. I'd like to apologize about the rain. If you elect me, I promise I'll try and do something about that. I'd like to welcome you all here on behalf of my family, my entire campaign staff. I'm sure that you know my brave wife would be here by my side were she able. The life-altering event of my father's death is really what prompted me to run for Congress. My father hid a deep depression and illness, really, up until the day he died. His loving wife, his attentive children, his loyal friends, we all knew about it, and yet he suffered alone. As many of you might have read, my brother Peter had an accident. But what I've kept from the press thus far is that Peter barely survived a suicide attempt. My first instinct was to keep his illness hidden, but no one should suffer alone. Because we're all connected somehow. Everyone in this room, you, Peter, me, everyone in this city. And we need to look out for each other.
Hero.
Nissan Versa. Nissan Versa.
That's a popular choice. Let me check to see if we still have any left.
Nissan.
Hero. Hero, we've got a connecting flight leaving for New York. We're not flying. Why not? It says we rent a car. We drive all the way? Yes, in a Nissan Versa. Do you know how long that's going to take? Suppose she doesn't have that exact car.
You're in luck. We have one left.
It's our destiny. In the rented car, Ando's watching Nikki's webcast on a handheld device as Hero reads the last panel in the comic book. A voice bubble reads, "We're on our own from here on out." Ando to Hero, "So where to?" "Las Vegas. It is our destiny." A barman to Matt.
"How you doing?"
"Well, I'm,
It's a rhetorical question. Just say fine or order a drink."
"Fine. What have you got on tap?"
Matt squeezes his forehead.
"Time. I don't want to hold that shrew. Sucking the life out of me. What's he looking at? Barking on the wrong tree.
Mad sips his drink.
"What am I here? What am I doing here? Am I that desperate?
Oh, she is digging me. I'm in for sure. She's digging for sure.
What if I just disappeared? Would they care?
Would anybody care? What if
I'm gonna take
notice I was gone?
Notice that I'm gone.
Would anybody care?"
Matt looks burdened by all the thoughts fading in and out.
"Here, I would need any more
to do.
Kind of business.
A bit.
Have self-confidence. I miss you."
Matt suddenly focuses on a bald-headed man who's staring at him intensely. The silence that surrounds the man disturbs Matt, and he takes a quick sip from his drink before getting up to leave. Matt staggers woozily and falls to the floor. Mohinder.
"We were in the apartment. We saw everything.
Want to tell me what you were doing in there?"
"Please, just follow me. I believe this man, Sila, killed my father. Here's a list of targets, including a man."
Mohinder stops and stares in surprise. Sila's entire apartment has been cleaned out, leaving nothing but bare shelves. Eden has entered alongside the policeman they've summoned. Mohinder turns and stares at her in amazement. Peter hits Nathan.
He turns around to the other one and says, "Holy cow, a talking dog."
"You son of a bitch!"
"Let him go. Easy, Pete, that's our mother you're talking about."
"There was no reporter on my story."
"Yeah, there would have been eventually. I had to take control of things before something happened, you understand?" "Ow. You get it, right?"
"Yeah, I get it."
"Good man."
Peter walks off into the rain. As lightning flashes outside, Isaac sits in his studio, smoking and leafing through the pictures in a sketchbook. He comes across a sketch of Simone. Flipping over the page, he sees another one. Soaking wet in the downpour, Peter's trying unsuccessfully to hail a cab when Simone appears with an umbrella.
"You're bleeding!"
"What?
Look, what Nathan said, it's not true. I didn't try to kill myself."
"No, I know."
Isaac stares at the sketchbook as Peter is leaning forward and kissing Simone. She responds, and he holds the back of her neck as they kiss some more. The picture Isaac's staring at is of Peter and Simone kissing beneath the umbrella. With a hollow expression, he looks down at his drug's paraphernalia.
This force, evolution, is not sentimental. Like the Earth itself, it knows only the hard facts of life's struggle with death. All you can do is hope and trust that when you have served its needs faithfully, there may still remain some glimmer of the life you once knew.
Holy...
To be continued.
Next Wednesday in Heroes.
My friend, it's very big power. Can take you all out.
Maybe I can only do things when I'm around other people who can do things.
My name is Hiro Nakamura. I'm from the future.